Now, can you hear me? Now you can hear me? Okay. Fine. This is no good. Anyway, as I was saying, it was a dark and stormy night, which is why there are a few people that are joining us by remote, even though they live about 3 minutes down the road. And so congratulations to you, brave souls, that came out on a dark, stormy night. And no doubt, Saul, you're to get the credit for that. It's not the sheer, that's for sure. I guess it'd be loud.
We call this unseasonably warm.
But anyway, so welcome. But also I heard from Sharon and a few other people who are without power wherever they are. And the recording, of course, is available afterwards.
My building doesn't have lights inside the building.
Oh, yeah, okay. So here we are. So we'll struggle to learn a little bit on Daf Mem Aleph Omid Beis in a Kiddushin. I just saw today that there's a new volume, Rabbi Heshi Reichman of Yeshiva University, for many, many years has been putting out these volumes. We have some of them here, the Rishimot Shiurim of Rabbi Soloveitchik on a different Masechtot. So there's people that were in the Shiurim of Rabbi Soloveitchik way back when, you know, from the notebooks, they reconstruct the Shiurim. Rabbi Herschel Schechter does this. Rabbi Herschel Reichman has been doing this. So I just saw that the volume on Kiddushin was just released. So I'm going to try to get my hands on it. I'm not sure if it's made it here to Israel yet, but I'm going to try to get my hands on it because that will no doubt enhance our learning. The Gemara has been trying to figure out what the source for Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoto, that a person's shaliach, his emissary, his messenger, has the power of attorney. He has agency to do things that the sender is responsible for doing. We entertained a few different possibilities. If you have those source sheets, you don't need them per se, but they have the sources there. One possibility, what's the first option for the source for Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoto? There's no, you understand, there's no final exam here, but it is hope to remember from week to week. Divorce, right? In other words, that you can give, you can deliver a get by shaliach. So if you can deliver a get by shaliach, so you can get married by shaliach.
There's something else last week that in the parsha. Okay. So in the parsha, it said that when they collect the man, so it's like Omer LeGolgolet, but in spite of that, the head of the household was able to be the shaliach to take for the whole family.
Ah. But is that real shlichut, the collecting of the man? In other words, when you somebody in your house does the food shopping. I saw your wife in the supermarket on Friday. Or on the other day, I saw your wife in the supermarket. Is she a shaliach? Well, I said the other day that there's shaliach with a capital shin and there's shaliach with a lowercase shin. We're going to see if we succeed in making some progress tonight. There are certain people who cannot be appointed a shaliach. Generally speaking, non-Jews cannot be shlichim for Jews, and Jews also can't be shlichim for non-Jews. So that if you give a non-Jew a get to deliver to a wife,
I'm
sorry?
You're involved in certain trades, let's say.
No, that's for edut. That's for testimony. That's for testimony. So the Gemara is going to. So there's certain people that can't be a shliach. But in other words, what does that mean? If you have a non-Jewish person working in your office, you can't ask them to mail the letter. They can mail the letter, right? Are they your shliach? They're your shliach with a lowercase shin. They're not a halachic shliach, right? They're a messenger boy, right? I'm not sure that collecting the man on behalf of your family is a shlichud more than sending your wife to the grocery store to get whatever you need on Friday morning. I mean, even if somebody's spending your money, that doesn't make them a shaliach for accomplishing a halachic purpose for which you need shlichut, where we say this person is an extension of you. Okay. Right? They're a They're a servant. Not to say, please don't repeat to your wife that I said, but sometimes you go to the store and then you're her servant. So the first source was the idea of gerushin. If you can divorce by a shaliach, you can get married by a shaliach. The second was, you have it on the sheet. You have a cheat sheet.
Truma was before that.
The second was truma. Right? That the Mishnah seems to say that you can have a shaliach separate your truma and ma'aser for you, and that it counts. And the third, which we began last week and now we will continue with, because chametz but that's not one of the suggestions the Gemara makes, right? We were trying to review what we saw last week. The third suggestion was that the home base, the controlling sugya, is kodshim, is korban pesach, right? Which when we learned last week, it was still fresh on our mind because we had just read parshat bo, right? When you make the Korban Pesach, and I remind you, Pesach is less than 2 months away. That might be the source of anxiety for some people. let's have another shot. Beer chametz. Korban Pesach, you have a chabura of people, a group of people that are collectively partnered on this little sheep or goat, right? Because everybody has to have a kazayat, a portion of the meat of the korban. And since you can't leave over anything, there can be no leftovers, so then you have to kind of calculate, this is a goat, this weighs X, it'll feed Y number of people. You know, like in the recipes, like when you get a recipe, it says, there's always two lies. There are always three things that are anti-Semitic about the recipes you get in the newspapers. One is, the first problem is, the recipes always end, serve immediately, right? Which is anti-Semitic, because the only time you're looking for a recipe to cook something is for Shabbos, right? You never see a recipe that says, serve in 28 hours from now. Right? Serve immediately. Number two, they tell you it takes only 3 minutes to caramelize onions or to cook this dish. This meal can be prepared in 20 minutes. I don't know where they come. And the third thing is the portion size. Feeds a family of eight, right? But not a Jewish family. So you go to get the korban, and there's some kind of chart that tells you this will feed a chabura of 10 people, whatever it is. I don't know. So you get 10 people to sign up as part of this group for the Korban Pesach. One of the 10 people actually does the shechita. He is the shaliach for all of them. So the Gemara wants to say from this we learn that shlichut, the home address is korbanot, is shechitat kodshim. And from that you could have learned it out to everything else.
Presumes that the act of shechita or anything else connected with actually bringing it as a korban is obligatory upon everybody.
It is obligatory upon everybody in the sense that everybody is obligated to eat of the korban pesach.
Right. To eat is one thing. That's not shechita. But if there's shlichut involved, he's doing something that he's doing it as an agent of all the others, so they must have some kind of obligation.
So?
Otherwise, Shlichut is irrelevant.
The person is representative of the chabura. Yeah. So what exactly does he do? He doesn't necessarily shecht.
Either he shechts or he goes to the shochet who shechts on their behalf.
Yeah.
But the point is that there's... But the point is that since the shechita of this animal is an inherent, in other words, in all korbanot, there are different steps of korbanot, right? There's no smicha for this because it's not a sin offering where you, but shechita is one of the essential elements, one of the sinai kwanon of korban. If you want to bring a korban, the korban has to be shechted, right? So if you're not a shochet or if you faint at the sight of blood, somebody's got to shed. That person is your shaliach. So it has to be done. So the Gemara asks, Minala. This is, I don't know, about, well, if you're looking at the screen, you see the arrow, but it's about 10 lines down, right? The first word on the line in my Gemara, I'm not sure where I got this. The Yalif Mehoch, Mehanoch.
What's the first word on the line?
In my Gemara, it's Ochlim. Ochel. Ochel. Right. Ochel mishalo vehem ochlim v'shotinimo. But in my Gemara, right, in this Talmud Gemara, it has a different nusach. Ochlim. But so the Gemara asks minalan, how do you know that koshim, that sacrificing animals for ritual purposes, that that's the home base of shlichut? V'chitema So how do you know that you can learn out from Kodshim to Hanach, to those, the other cases, the case of divorce or the case of Truma? But Mala Hanach, in those other cases, Sheken Yeshan Chol Eitzel Kodshim. Earlier, the Gemara had introduced this idea that you might need to have multiple sources for shlichut, because any one of them might raise a red flag, and you might say, "Well, okay, there's shlichut for truma, but truma is a special case, and you wouldn't necessarily extrapolate from truma to kodshim, or from kodshim to gerushin, or etc." Remember, in truma, there was this idea that truma can be done mentally. That was the last thing we looked at last time. So we said, "Well, maybe." Well, we say there are two possibilities of what that means. Since truma can be done mentally, it's not the ideal way of separating truma, but in a pinch, you can mentally separate. You have this pile of corn. Let's say this corn. Pass me the popcorn. Right. Let's say this bowl of popcorn grew from corn, and nobody separated truma to masrut from the corn, and then you popped it. And I have this pile of tevel popcorn, and I want to eat from it. So for whatever reason, you might be able to say the corn on this side of the bowl is truma. And even though I'm not separate, and you don't even, at least according to the opinion that we saw in the Rambam, you might not even have to say it. Now, what, remember last time we looked at three different shitot of like, what does it mean to do it mentally? Maybe mentally means you only say it, but don't actually physically remove it. But maybe it just means you think it. So maybe since for truma, there's such a minimal requirement of activity, all you have to do is think it. So then the Gemara suggests, well, maybe, obviously, for truma, you can appoint a shaliach, right? Because it doesn't require much. But for divorce, which is a much more serious matter, you actually have to physically deliver the get into, it has to be written, it has to be written with special intention, it has to be physically delivered, it has to be delivered into her hand. Maybe for that, shlichut would not work. What? So for each possibility, the Gemara tries to rule out why you need all three, because you might not have gotten to one of them unless you said it explicitly. Again, remember, of course, the Gemara's obvious impulse is to say you don't need extra things. The Gemara was always trying to save ink, right? Well, give me one, and from that I'll learn out everything else. What? We have other things. Occam's razor. Well, not exactly. Occam's razor is that the simplest explanation is the most plausible. But here's not the simplest. It's that from any one of them, you could have intuited the others. So save your breath. Right? You know, Jews have other things to do.
Because you only have to think it. Deliver the
right. So in other words, so if we had said that the home base for shlichut is truma, so that might have led to the havamina to say that, yeah, okay, you can have shlichut for truma because you don't really have to do anything anyway, so somebody else can do it for you. But for marrying a woman, for divorcing a woman, for sacrificing an animal, etc. So maybe that you can't do it through a shaliach. Maybe that you have to do yourself because it's a higher level. So the Gemara says, how do you know that Kodshim is the source? We might have said, no, Kodshim is something very holy. Kodshim is even more holy than Truma, right? So maybe Shlichut is only for such, it's the opposite reason. It's only for such significant things, right? Since people have to bring korbanot, and obviously not everybody knows how to bring their own korban, right? And interestingly, we have coming up an example of something that almost all of us do through shaliach. I don't know everybody. No, I was going to say Kriyat HaMegillah. Right? Now, whether Kriyat HaMegillah is the mitzvah is to hear it or to read it, the bracha is l'shmoa kol shofar. Friends, if the internet cuts out because there's a blackout, it's blackout weather. So hang around for 4 minutes, and if it doesn't come back, we'll take that as a bad sign. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking shofar, right? But correct. The is al mikra megillah, right? The reading of the megillah, but not everybody reads the megillah. One person reads the megillah, generally speaking, and everybody else is yotzei by listening to it. We appoint a shaliach. I guess somebody always makes that announcement. He's going to have kavana, and you should have kavana, and everybody should have kavana, and he'll read, and you'll listen, and nobody should talk. And we do the same thing by shofar, even though by shofar the bracha is l'shmoa, right? To hear the shofar.
But, if a woman takes a neder or a devah of the korban,
yeah,
does she physically go into the azara?
She goes up to the azot nashim and she passes it over. If she has to do smicha, she does smicha. But forget a woman. If a man has to bring a korban, a man doesn't do all of the korbanot, all of the stages of the korbanot, right? Unless he's a kohen. One of you is a kohen. You're a kohen. Lechitema diyalef mihanach, ma lahanach shekein yesh nancho etzel kodshim. Right? So we might have thought that those things are exceptions because they're not as holy as korbanot. Ma lahanach shekein nafkalei Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. This can be learned or derived from the halacha of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. So, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, minayin sheshlucho shel adam kemoto. What is his source that for shlichut shene emar v'shachatu oto kol kahala dat Yisrael ben ha'arbayim? What is he talking about? What's his pasuk? Korban Pesach, right? That the entirety of the Jewish nation will slaughter the Paschal sacrifice on the afternoon of Erev Pesach. V'chikol kahal kulan shochatin. Wait a second. The Pesach says every single person, everybody has to shech the Korban Pesach. Does everybody shech the Korban Pesach? Obviously not. First of all, not because... Well? No, but say then you're patur. Right, if you're in it, but anybody who's obligated or able to shech the korban, even the people that are able to shech the korban pesach, not everybody shechts it because you do it by chabura, right? And it's even if the halacha was that one member, this is not the halacha, but even if the halacha was that one member of the chabura has to be the shochet, right? So still, 90% of the people are not doing the actual shrita. So it doesn't mean everybody does the shrita. V'chikol kahal kulan shochatin, v'halo eino shochet ela echad. Only one person does the actual shechita. Ela mikan sheshlucho shel adam kimoto. No, that's the proof that shlucho shel adam kimoto. Right? We consider it as if everybody had shechted the korban pesach. Even though obviously not everybody's doing it, how are they doing it? They're doing it through the mechanism of shechita. That I'm sorry. One second. Do people online hear what Ben is saying? Hello.
Can you?
Not really.
Yeah, I heard others.
Oh, whether it would.
So why is the shochet considered the shaliach? But here, because now we're seeing actually everybody does have an obligation.
Well, at least according to this pasuk, Kol Adat Bnei Yisrael does shechita. So beseder. So if Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha is correct that this is the home base for shlichut, for the idea that a person's shlich is like him, nichtov rachmana b'kodshim. So let the Torah state explicitly by kodshim that this is shlichut. V'nete hanach. And we will extrapolate from here to these other. What's the problem? All the cases that we have where obviously there's some kind of shlichut going on. And not just because we know from our own common experience that gittin are delivered through shlichim. And as we know, we can reverse engineer it. We know lehalacha that gittin can be delivered through shlichim. Right? So how do we know that gittin can be delivered through shlichim? Like what's the proof text that shows it? Right? We also know that shchitat korbanot is done through shlichim. So let the Gemara state it. Let the Torah say it explicitly by shchitat kodshim, shchitat pesach, and then from there we will extrapolate it to everything else. Why would that not have been good enough? What? In other words, it was a learning. We learned it out from there. But then the Gemara said, "So fine, so let that be the only reference, and we'll understand it from everything else, right?" So here we say, "No, there's also a learned reference, meaning there's a derivative reference by Pesach Kol Kahal Adat Bnei Yisrael, right? Which is there in order to tell you that obviously it has to be shlichut. So what would be the problem in saying it only by Korban Pesach, and then we would learn it to Gittin, we would learn it to Kiddushin, we would learn it to Truma from Korban Pesach. Ki de'ika lemifrach. It can be, what was the word I used last week? Slugged up. It can be refuted. In other words, if that was the learning, if that was the source, right? It could cause a problem down the road. It could cause a stumbling block down the road in terms of a learning. Ma lekodshim. Shekein rov ma'aseim al yedei shaliach. Right? No, so people would say that's not the rule. It's the exception to the rule. Why? Why would saying that kodshim is the home base? Because he'd say, anyway, all kodshim are done mostly by shlichim. How are most kodshim done by shlichim? The kohanim, right? Because even when you bring a korban, you only do part of the activity, and then you delegate it. I mean, you know, it's not even delegating; you're unable to do it. It's you're required to do it by a shaliach unless you happen to be a kohen yourself, right? So obviously, so what might somebody say? What's the havamina? What's the
rebuttable presumption.
Say it again.
Rebuttable presumption.
I'm not going to be able to remember. I'm going to turn to you every week. What's the havamina that needs to be prevented? Okay, so spell it out.
Facts that are not the same.
Right. So what's the problem with identifying the only source as being in the sacrificing of that? Yeah, so you'd say pshita that you can have shlichut with kodshim because 75% of the act of every sacrifice is done through shlichim, through the kohanim, right? So obviously,
100%.
Right. So obviously there's shlichut there. But who says that carries over to get? Who says that carries over to marriage? Who says that carries over to truma? It's a special halacha about kachim, right? And we can't extrapolate it. No, because the
it's an actual
who's obligated
impossibility to do it without shlichut. Even if you are a kohen,
no, but in other words,
to do it with shlichut.
Even if you're a Kohen, you have to do what with Shlichut?
Well, okay. Suppose you might be a Kohen and we're doing it with Shlichut.
Right. Maybe Lamaseh. Right. In a family of Kohanim that are eating together, so b'chozot, only one person does the Shlichut.
But he could be.
What?
Because only because if every person had an obligation to do shechita on one day, it's not.
Meaning if everybody had to bring their own.
Yeah, right.
But then you have a different problem that most people can't eat an entire gedig by themselves, and this is where we say, Steve, we miss you, and we wish you were here back in this year. Because he enjoys a good ala ish. every chabura.
The father, for example, doesn't have to be appointed the shaliach, but he has kinyan for everybody else in the family. So, it doesn't mean children, wives, and everybody else.
Well, it does, and anybody who's obligated in the Korban Pesach, meaning anybody above Bar Mitzvah who's obligated in Korban Pesach, is obligated in being involved in the Korban. Now, it could be that Dad is paying for it, just like everybody who's obligated. You're going to go to Seder this. No, not for this. In other words.
Okay.
Who's obligated to eat a kazayat matzah?
Everybody.
Every adult man and woman, any boy above 13, any girl above 12, is obligated to eat a kazayat matzah min haTorah, and then 100,000 kazaitim according to all of our different customs. You can't appoint a shliach for that. One person actually does go and buy the matzah. Usually one person actually pays for the matzah. There's no obligation to pay for your own matzah. Why don't you buy it yourself? Or even to bake it yourself, although some people have that custom.
Oh, by the way, the Korban Pesach is not limited to your immediate family. You can join with a neighbor.
You often had to join with a neighbor, depending upon. I'm curious. I'm sure, David, if you were here, we would turn to you, right? And no doubt you will send us. And here we miss Yehudi for all of this kind of information. Well, how many kazaitim are there? I have no idea. How many people does one average size?
Probably had more than that, right? They had a meal.
No, they had a meal, but they would be mosif from other things. They would also have the Korban Chagiga.
Right.
They would
have.
No, but there were others. There were other, like we do. Everybody has to eat a bit from the matzot mitzvah, right? In other words, usually, like we have a Seder together every year. His family, my family, and the mother-in-law. So he says Hamotzi on his set of matzot, I say amotzi, and the bracha of alachiot matzah on my set of matzot. And then I break it up, and we each give a portion to, my end of the table and his end of the table. And somebody, every year we argue who has the schut of giving to the mother. But when you're done, if there are enough people, if you only have two sets of matzot, so there's not enough matzah in that matzah and a half, right? Remember, you only have a matzah and a half, right? Because half went to the Afikoman, and the second one is for the. So everybody has a bite from the matzah and a half, and then you supplement it with the extra spare matzahs that are laying around. Okay. So it's the same thing with the Korban Pesach, right? Okay. Everybody would have kazayat. You had to have at minimum a kazayat of the korban, but then you would supplement it with all the other tasty things that were cooked for the meal that were not kodshim per se, right?
You had to have
the moror, and you had the matzah, and you had the chagiga. So,
my in-laws with their one cow. Come from a butcher, not from.
Where did they keep a half a cow?
Well, they cut it. Part of it they ordered to have cut up into ground beef. Part of it was cut up into this, and they had a big freezer. And that was basically less than.
Where were they?
On the outskirts of Chicago. In the city that they live.
Okay.
So the Ikla Mifrach. In other words, if we would have located the source in Psachim, so you'd say that that's a special din for Kodshim. So then the Gemara says,
only
Shlichot
is the way to work.
Shlichot only
work. You can't do it otherwise.
So, right. Well, that's, I think, another way of saying what Charles said. That you would say this is an exception to the rule, and obviously has to be done through Shlichot, but from you can't learn that out. You know, because by marriage, Adirabba, none of us have ever seen a marriage done by Shlichot. I defy any of you to, oh no, well, we did mention there is a case. We, Yigal Amir, right? None of us have been present at a marriage done by Shlichot. It's not obvious. That nobody would be able to say, well, there has to be shlichut by marriage because it's not possible otherwise, right? But that is the case. That's what you do have to say for sacrifices. So the Gemara says chada michada lo atya. Okay, so we can't learn out one from another, right? In these three cases, you can't say, well, we have one, and from that one you're going to learn out to the others. Lo atya. So tete chada mitarte, but maybe we could learn one from two. We have three cases on the table. Our attempt until now has been to say one would suffice. We could learn the others from that, but there's always a reason we can't do that. So maybe you could give me a discount, because again, the Gemara is so concerned about the spillage of ink. Maybe you give me a discount and say, all right. So instead of needing all three, maybe you can put two on the table, and then the third I could learn out. So what would be the one case that could be inferred if we have the other two cases, right? Like you could triangulate, because you remember there was a problem with each one. One we said, well, the problem is that it's such a low level activity.
Well, you don't want to have question.
So what would be the one that you could remove from the table and still understand it by its absence? In astrophysics, they do this all the time, as I understand. Usually I turn to you to understand these things.
Well, I think you could.
No, like, you know, like the way that in astrophysics they determine that there's something out there. There has to be another moon, you know, to Jupiter. We've never observed it. We have no visual evidence that it's there. But because of the gravitational effect, that's, by the way, that's how they understood that Pluto was out there before Pluto was downgraded. They said there has to be another planet out there because there's something exerting gravitational effect on Neptune. Right? Whatever it was, but that idea, based upon what you know, that Neptune isn't functioning the way that it should be if it's the last of the planets, they can infer that there's another force out there that has yet to be discovered. So basically, that's what it's saying. Maybe we can put two things on the table. So Ben wants to say you could remove Korbanot. Right? So in other words, if I told you there's such a thing as Shlichut, you can marry your wife by Shlichut, you can divorce your wife by Shlichut, you can do Korbanot by Shlichut. So you'd say, well, Minastam, you can do Korban Pesach by Shliach. Okay, that's your wager here. That's your wager here. We won't suspect that maybe you learned ahead in the Gemara, that you didn't cheat by doing any homework. So the Gemara says, hold on a second, where are we? So the Gemara says, the Torah could have not said anything by Kodshim, and we would have learned Kodshim from the other two. The Gemara was listening into Ben, instead of the other way around. Malahanach, but just like those cases, Shekein Yeshnan Chol Etzel Kodshim, Lo Nichtov Rachmana Etzel Kodshim.
right? So there, we still have the problem. Because Kodshim is a high, very high level. You might say, well, Kodshim, you don't need to teach me Shlichut, but Kodshim is a very high level of sanctity. So we might say, well, you can't learn anything from Chulin. So Lo Nichtov Rachmana Begerushin. So maybe the Gemara should just keep quiet. Maybe the Torah should be quiet regarding divorce. And we'll learn to divorce by inference. V'teite mehanach, and it can be brought to Gerushin, it can be inferred to Gerushin from the other cases. So ma lahanach sheken yeshnan b'machshava ela. So in the other case, right? So there is you. It's right. I might have thought that since it can be done by machshava, so in the case of truma, so then that's the problem with divorce. You might say no. Maybe divorce can't be inferred because for the same. This is repeating the reasons before. Right? So ela lo lichtov rachmana betruma. So let the Torah remain silent about truma v'teite mehanach, and you can infer to truma from the other cases. Hachinami v'ela atem gam atem. So then, what do you do with that pasuk? As the pasuk, remember, how did we learn that truma can be done by shaliach? Because the pasuk says you have it here. I'm sorry, I don't have it on the screen, but it's the pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Yud Chet pasuk Kaf Chet, Numbers 18:28. Kain tarimu gam atem trumat Hashem. So what did gam atem? So that was the source that it can be done because it's a redundancy, right? You could just say kain tarimu atem. You guys should take the truma. What does it mean? Also, you mean also who? Also, in addition to who? In addition to the shaliach that you can appoint for truma. So, if you want to say that you don't need a special limud, a special derivative learning for truma. So, what do you do with this pasuk? You'd have to say it's there to teach you something else. So, lamali, why would I? What would be the purpose of that pasuk? Gam atem, if it's not there to teach you shlichut in truma. No, it would be required. We would still get something out of it. What would be required? Le kid Rabbi Yanai. It would be there because of the teaching of Rabbi Yanai. The Omer Rabbi Yanai, gam atem. You too. Ma atem b'nei brit, af shluchachem b'nei brit. It's there to teach you, not that you can appoint a shaliach. It's there to teach you something about the nature of your shaliach. This is what I mentioned earlier. When you appoint a shaliach for truma, the shaliach himself has to be a member of the covenant. That's what we call a Jew. So halamali, kra, what do you need a pasuk to teach you that your shaliach to take truma also has to be Jewish? Midrabbi Chiya bar Abba. Because of the halacha of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan Nafka, the Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. It can be learned out from Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ein Ha'eved Naseh Shaliach Lekabel Get Miyad Ba'ala. An Eved cannot be a Shaliach for Gittin. Hold on a second. Why can't an Eved be a Shaliach for Gittin? Lefish She'eino B'Torat Gittin V'Kiddushin. Because he is not at all involved in the Torah, in the laws of marriage and divorce. This is an Eved Kanani, yeah. An Eved Ivri is not called an Eved, right? An Eved Kanani, even though for certain purposes, an Eved Kanani he's not a Jew, but for certain purposes, he has halachic stature. There are certain mitzvot that he's obligated in, but he cannot officiate, he cannot affect marriage and divorce. So just like he can't give a get himself, so he can't be a shaliach. He's not shy, as we say, he's not shaykh. He's not connected to marriage. To be a shaliach, you have to have some skin in the game.
Why?
Right?
Always that way, no?
be, because that's according to Rabbi Chiya, that's the definition of shlichut, right? The shaliach is your extension, right? So in order for it to work, you know, it's like, remember, I used to love when I was a kid, you know, like those magnet toys. Remember those toys, like these little metal cars, right? Then they rode on like a magnetic track, and like it showed you, like in other words, if you reverse the polarity on the magnets, as if you had like a car, like a matchbox car, right? That was on a track, and on the back of the matchbox car there was a magnet, and then it was like a wand, but the polarity of the magnet was reversed, so that when the wands got close to the car, it pushed, without touching the car, it pushed it forward. You know, because if you have two magnets where the polarities are reversed, they repel each other. I remember thinking, like, why don't all cars work this way? If I just attach a magnet, hang a magnet out the back, you know, like the opposite of the old thing where, like, you have a horse and a carrot, you hold a pole with a carrot and the horse keeps going forward because it's trying to get the carrot, right? So you just hang a magnet out the back and it'll push the car. You won't need gas. I didn't understand physics. I was like 7 years old. I didn't. Yeah. Elon Musk. But what are these? You didn't have these toys when you were a kid? These magnet toys? Anyway, but one of the toys was like, they were very strong magnets, and you could attach the magnet to it was like metal blocks. You would attach a magnet to this metal block, and the metal block becomes magnetized, and then that metal block can attach to something else. But it only works if, this is all too complicated since none of you catch the reference. In other words, the magnetization only works for something that's metal, right? But there were parts of the toys that were not magnetic; they were like plastic or something. So that would, you could put that in as a divider if you wanted to. So that's shlichut. In other words, the metal block is not magnetized, but it's a shliach to the magnetization. I'm sorry, I fell down the rabbit hole of this metaphor, right? But if you're not made out of iron, you're not Petorus magnet. You're not connected. No, you can't participate in the whole thing, right? I'm sorry. You didn't have these? You're close to my age. You didn't have these toys? I didn't have a brother. So you had other things to do.
So in the case of the Gittin, so is there any limitations, let's say, on a woman being a shliach with the husband or the wife?
Well, can a woman be a shliach for these purposes? And that's generally speaking not.
No, but she can point on that.
What?
She can appoint
a shaliach, right? Anyway, so the Gemara says you have to be betorah, you have to be betorah, so you can't appoint a non-Jew. So that's the halacha. That's gamatem. If you didn't need gamatem to teach you that there is such a thing as shlichut, it would teach you a different halacha. It's a halacha that's connected to shlichut, but it's not the source of shlichut, right? It's the halacha that a shaliach for truma has to be a ben brit. Yeah. No, because that's Rav Yanai's teaching. In other words, gam is biutar. That's to teach you something.
Right.
So we thought that it was there to teach you can have a shaliach. You can do it. Vagam. Right? So, but if suddenly you say, no, you don't need that. So then you have to fill this hole. So luckily, there's a halacha that's derived. There's a different shita. There's a different position that holds that no, the gam is there to teach you. You have to take it, and gam, the person, your shaliach who takes it, has to be like you in the regard that he's connected to. No, in other words, the havamina at play at the moment is you don't need a special source to tell you that there's shlichut for truma, because that could be inferred from the other cases. But then you get stuck because there's a pasuk that has to be explained. Yeah, so you learn it from the other two cases, from Gittin and from Gittin and from Kotchim. Yeah, that's what we're saying. There are these three sources. Take one off the table. It's not necessary. You would have known that from the other two. Okay, but you know, it's like you're trying to make a bed with a sheet that's too short, right? You can get it around three corners, but it's going to pop up somewhere else. So we solve the problem, at least at this stage. We solve the problem. We said, correct, you can tell me shlichut by two of the three, and I'll infer it from in the third case. But when I take that third case, the case of Truma, off the table and say, I don't need to state it explicitly. I'm going to save that drop of ink. I don't need to teach that there's shlichut there. I'll infer it from the other two cases, but then a different problem. It's like whack-a-mole. There's a different problem that pops up. And that different problem is, what do you do with Gamatem? Gamatem used to be the source. But you don't need a source, because I could have learned it out from the other things. So, but we're still stuck with Gamatem. It's this sore thumb sticking out. No, Gamatem is there to teach you about the nature of the shliach. He has to be a ben brit. Okay. Af shluchem b'nei brita. Ha lamali. Kra. He is. Rabbi Yana is making the inference from the word Gamatem. He doesn't learn out Gamatem is to teach you the shlichut. He uses Gamatem to teach you. That's the ben brit, right? So now the Gemara says, "Wait a second! You don't need a halacha. You don't need a pasuk to teach me, to teach you." But the Gemara is so concerned about wasting ink, but somehow has a lot of ink. You don't need a pasuk Gamatem to teach you ben brit, right? Nafka. So itzdrach salka dat chamina. I would have thought salka dat chamina. It would have gone up in my mind. The idea would have occurred to me. It would have been a refutable premise. It would have been a havamina. Eved the lav bar heterahu klal, in Eved who is not at all connected to being a bar hetera. A bar hetera is someone who can divorce a wife, right? Because he can give a heter, meaning he can give a release to the woman to be no longer married. Aval oved kochavim ho'il v'ite betruma de nafshe. Ditznan ha'oved kochavim v'hakuti shetormu trumatan truma. But wait a second, a non-Jew, who says you have to be a ben brit to do truma? The halacha is that if a non-Jew, either an oved kochavim, which is not just a non-Jew, but he's an idolater, or a kuti. A kuti are the are what's called the shomronim. The kutim, as we learned in Navi, the kutim, the shomronim, were they converted at a certain stage of Jewish history. They were considered Jews, and then it turned out that their conversion was invalidated. So they're not, for most purposes, they're not considered Jews, but for certain things, they're not considered non-Jews either, right? They remain in this liminal state. Now, there's still, of course, Shomronim today in Eretz Yisrael. There's a small Shomronim community still in Eretz Yisrael. They live up by, you know, Har Grizim, Har Eival. No, they're not Messianic Christians. They're Shomronim. And as a matter of fact, there's my friend, Professor Stephen Fine from Yeshiva University, has just done a multi-year very interesting research project and produced that. I haven't seen it yet, but he produced this, what I'm told is a very interesting documentary about the Shomronim, right? Because in some ways the Shomronim are, I think the documentary, and there's like a book that goes along with it, is called A Portrait of a Biblical People. Because in some ways their practice is much more frozen in Judaism as it might have looked pre-Rabbinic Judaism. Yeah, and for a certain purpose. So anyway, you can look it up online. This the Samaritans, biblical people. It looks to be, I mean, I've seen clips of the movie. What do you mean Israel proper? Isn't where do you live, Ben? What color Tudat Zehut do you have? Yes, no, they're down in, there's also in in Cholon and in Haifa. I don't know. Anyway, it's an interesting, you know, the Karaim is something else. There are small communities of Karaim that are left. So the Gemara says that if an Evet Kochavim, if a non-Jew, these categories of non-Jews separate Truma, it's Truma. Meaning it has a din of Truma. And if you eat it, it's a serious offense. Is it Dioraita? Is it Dirabonon? So we'll have to determine, right? So wait a second. What do you mean? You have to be a Ben Brit to do Truma. Right?
Does that cover anybody?
If a Jew gives Trumas, obviously it's true. An Ove Kochavim is
or a
Kuti, right?
That's a Kuti isn't an Evet Kochavim.
No, but say it, but if an Evet Kochavim, if an Ove Kochavim, if an idolater does it,
then
certainly
a Jew.
Certainly a Christian. No, Ove Kochavim in the Gemara speak is not a Jew who has sinned. It's a non-Jew. This is a cliffhanger, and we're going to come back to it next week. Right, but you understand. But we're now spinning a lot of plates. We have a lot of balls in the air, right, as we go along. Once again, we have not made as much progress as we might have, but that's okay. It's all Torah study.
Somebody wants to marry, let's say, a widow.
Mm-hmm.
He could not appoint a kohen to be shaliach.
No, so Shalom asks an interesting question. Shalom asks it's a very valid question. No. In other words, correct. A kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. So let's say a Yisrael wants to marry a divorcee, which is perfectly permitted. And he appoint a kohen as a shaliach.
Why not? Oh, he's not a kohen.
Do you say this is invalid because he's not Betoras Gitin V'Kiddushin, or Kiddushin, right? Or do we say no, because he's not the one that's getting married. He's the, so the halacha is like you. Right, that he's able to, because he is betorat kiddushin, meaning he is someone who can affect kiddushin. In this particular case, he can't affect kiddushin. Better question: you want to marry my sister? Can you make me the shaliach to deliver the kesef kiddushin to her? Right? We say yes or no. Yes. I'm not allowed to marry my sister, right? But I'm not marrying my sister. I am, when I'm doing it, I am your long arm. So, but I understand that it's a good question. It's a good question, but the answer is simpler. The answer is simpler than the question. Okay, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening along online.
Two brothers up there.
Right. Those of you listening along online, stay safe and warm. And to those of you that are listening to the recording, either because your power was out or because you just listened to the recording, feel free to be in touch. We always welcome your insights and questions.